This really is kind of the ballad of Elliot Friedman. You know, grew up, his mom tried to keep him, you know, keep him in check, but he was just too much of a rebel. He had to go. Turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. Just a badass, that Elliot Friedman. Is that similar to your upbringing there, Elliot?
Well, as a matter of fact, as we speak, the other prisoners are getting antsy about how much time I've already been on the payphone.
That's right. I hope we got you collect. Hope you're not paying for this.
That's right.
Well, how are you?
That's okay. I just ripped off someone's credit card. You know, what else can they do to me?
Yeah, that's right.
How's that feed going? Good?
Yeah, it's great, man. Have you ever... I don't know why you're not part of the broadcast. If we got Mark Lee and we got Ron McLean, why aren't you out here?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. There was one time when circumstances conspired that CBC was really shorthanded for the Stampede. And they didn't tell me this story until like 2 months after. They looked up and down everybody in sports and they say, we need somebody to do it this year. And they came up to my name and they all looked at each other and said, we're not asking him.
Yeah. So do you take pride in that or are you disappointed?
I'm the kind of guy, I would do it. Like, if they came to me and said, we're really stuck, you know, no pride. Because I think it's one of those things you'd love to experience once. But I can understand their reticence and concern for the idea.
I don't understand, because when I think of rugged, when I think,
yes,
of, you know, grizzled, rugged, manly men, you're near the top of the list.
Well, I can totally understand that. Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Would anybody else feel differently? Remember me on Shane Doan's horse?
That's right. See? That probably did you in right there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably did, Jen. Still waiting on that. As soon as I sign with Sportsnet, you'll be the first to know text.
I was told...
Did you change your number?
No, I was told do not tell anybody.
Yeah,
so,
just look here.
No offense, Dino, but got to please the employee. You don't want to annoy the employers on your first day.
Mm. Yeah, looking here. Nope, didn't come through. I got texts before and after that. But
yeah.
But nothing since. No, that's fine. Congratulations, man. I know we kind of had some fun with it leading up, but it was a no-brainer that they bring you across, and I'm excited. Do you have any idea at this point what your role is going to be?
Not exactly. I believe I'll be working on the Wednesday and Saturday broadcast, but I'm not 100% certain. I've been told that I may end up being back in the field a little bit more, which I'm okay with, so... I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not too worried about that. I think what they're doing, you know, is they're pretty much signing everybody first and then kind of figuring out where we're all going from there.
Yeah, my phone still hasn't rang, and I work for the company. So, hey, there you go.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I've had a few guys tell me that.
I wanted to bring you on because you were kind of the first guy that pointed us in the direction. You said maybe 2 months ago. You said one thing to keep your eye on. The Chicago Blackhawks are going into the final year of the contracts for both Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. As of July 1st, they can sign extensions and expect it to be done shortly after. And don't be surprised if the cap hit is double digits. And at the time, and it's funny how things change, at the time it was like, well, how could that be? How could you have not one but two guys on the same team making more than $10 million a season? Well, we have that. And already there are some who feel like it won't be long before that's a bargain. I guess just your thoughts on the 10.5 per season times 8 for both Kane and Toews.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. You know, when it first came out, you know, there were talk that they were going to ask for 12, and, you know, they probably did. I think you never undersell yourself. I always expected the number, like, I think the Blackhawks really hoped the number would start with a 9. But I think they realized that this was not a battle that they were really interested in fighting too heavily. To me, I think the biggest decision that Kane and Toews had, Dean, was do we go for a 5-year deal so that when we're 31 years old, we get to hit another Grand Slam? And obviously they decided, you know, that wasn't necessary. The 8-year deal was good enough. And, you know, I don't think anybody's going to argue with it. I think the biggest question about this is how this is going to work is, where do you believe the cap is going to be going? I remember last year when Sportsnet signed the TV deal, I had some teams tell me that they think the cap will eventually end up 85, maybe 90. And it wasn't one team that told me that. It was about four or five. So if that happens, everything's going to be okay. If that doesn't happen, especially with the Canadian dollar, that's going to be an issue for the Blackhawks.
It's hard to fathom, though, with that TV deal and just with history being our indicator, that the cap doesn't reach those heights.
Yeah, but, you know, again, the Canadian dollar is a big deal because a third of the league's revenue comes from these seven teams. And you never know what happens. You know, it's a gate-driven league. You know, if your top markets don't do as well, you know, they don't go as far in the playoffs, they can affect things. But you know what? The people who are smarter than me, the math geniuses, tell me they think it will happen, so I would tend to believe that it will.
Chatting with Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, I guess, is what we would say now, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. July 1st, any surprises? I think just in general, I'm surprised at how quickly things went cold. The first hour, 2 hours, 3 hours was off. It was madness. And then since then, it's been basically dead quiet. I mean, Danny Heatley signs yesterday. But anything specific come of July 1st, either teams not doing something or teams doing a ton that caught your eye?
Well, I was interested in what Washington did. There's no question about that. And they believe that they still have a window to win. You know, Ovechkin's in his late 20s, Backstrom's in his late 20s. You know, they think that they went after defensemen because they believe that if Barry Trotz can straighten them out, and that's why they hired him, they still think their key guys are in the prime to win. They're all in to win. And I'm really curious about how that's going to look and how that team is going to look with him coaching them. You know, I was the air hockey on Pittsburgh was really interesting to me, but I will tell you there are teams out there who believe that that is a situation where maybe Erhoff signs an extension come January where he is eligible to do it. They can re-sign him after January 1st, and I think there are teams who believe that he will do that. I think Vancouver was a really interesting story. And, you know, to me, I think I'm curious now, you know, Chicago's over the cap, Philly's right there. What are these teams going to do to get underneath it? You know, I was talking to Ron Hextall the other day, and I asked him specifically about LeCavalier, and he said, look, I'm not getting rid of him. And he said, people forget, this guy scored 20 goals last year. So if people think the Flyers are just going to give him away, Hextall seems bound and determined not to do that.
The Winnipeg Jets and Evander Kane, yet another. It was little, but still, whenever Evander Kane does something, it gets magnified. And some people are on the side of saying this guy is immature and the Jets need to get out while the getting's good. And on the other side, people are saying that some will say that the media in Winnipeg are a bunch of drama kings and queens and they need to relax and just chill out. Where do you fall in?
I fall in the camp that, you know, it's a small market where it's like if you ask anybody who's played hockey or football there, the spotlight is intense. You have to be able to handle it. But I think the Winnipeg Jets want to trade him. I don't think that they like the idea of it. I think they recognize his talent. They recognize that his contract is really good by NHL standards. But over the last little while, just the intel I get is that they realize they probably have to make the move. The problem is it's an easy trade to lose, Dean. And, you know, look, that interview, if you heard it, and obviously you did, that guy does not want to be in Winnipeg. And I don't think there's anything wrong with Paul Maurice going in there and laying down the law and saying, Evander, we demand accountability from you. I don't think that's wrong. A boss should demand it, and an elite player like him should be willing to give it. I think that one of the reasons he has not been traded is the Jets have not found anything remotely close to what they would consider fair. This is not a trade they can lose. This is a team that knows it has to contend for a playoff berth. You can't trade Evander Kane for something that's only going to help you 2 or 3 years down the road. And I think it's more likely that maybe he comes back now and starts with them, but I do think the Winnipeg Jets realize that this is a trade they're going to have to make at some point. They just haven't gotten them anything, any offer that makes them say, we want to pull the trigger.
And the other part of it is, too, because we watch it closely, they haven't, as a group, now, of course, Cheveldayoff with his time in the American League and all of that, but they've really not done. The Jets, in this incarnation in the NHL, aside from drafting players or picking up guys on waivers, they've not made any kind of a move or trade of significance. I'm also very curious about this management and their ability to pull off a trade of this significance.
Well, it's been debated in Winnipeg. There's no question about that. And Kevin, by nature, is very cautious. If you've ever interviewed him, Dean, or you've ever heard him interviewed, you know that he is very careful about what he says. The one thing I do think is the organization is getting a bit itchy. They know that it's no longer honeymoon time, and the expectation is that they are going to be better. I think that's why they did spend $90 million, two summers ago on guys like Brad, Wheeler, and Little. They spent $90 million on those guys. You can't argue with that. And I think if you're going to spend that kind of money, it might as well be with guys you know. But I think there have been some issues in the room that they really want to deal with. I think they're really hopeful about some of their young players like Trouba and Scheifele, and they want to find room for them. And I just think that I do agree that they are cautious. But again, sometimes I think it's better to be cautious and patient than it is to be rash and quick. And I think if you're going to trade Evander Kane at this point in your franchise's existence and his career, you have to do it in a trade that gives you help right away. And I think they're having trouble doing that.
Last one for you. The Calgary Flames just wrapped up their prospect development camp in between Sam Bennett and John Goudreau. Fans pretty excited. They were jam-packing Winsport over the last 5 or 6 days. They bring in Jonas Hiller, Mason Raymond, Derek Englund on July 1st. Just broad strokes. Your thoughts about where the Flames are at and what they accomplished on July 1st.
Well, they brought in some veterans, some guys like who can help. I like the Hiller signing. And the reason I do is this. When you have a young team, you have to give them a chance to win in games where they're competitive. And I think Hiller allows you to do that. I don't know if I expect a big jump from the Flames in the standings next year. And to me, this is, and I don't necessarily, I think for the players, it's very hard to hear this, especially the veterans. They want to compete for a playoff spot. They want to win games. I think they're probably a year or two away. But I think what they've brought is they've just brought guys in who are pros, who can help out a little bit, but I don't expect them to be a ton better yet. I'm curious to see if they, I think there's going to be a divorce at some point in the near future between Toronto and Cody Franzen. I'm curious to see if the Flames are going to be in on that. And whether or not he's going to be somebody the Flames pursue, because right-handed defensemen are always guys that teams look for. But I think they just looked at kind of stability and taking another small step. I think we're a year or two away from the Flames really saying, okay, it's time to put our cards in and throw the chips in and really start to be a player in this game.
Well, and especially, and we've had this debate, and we'll debate it for a long time, with the Connor McDavid draft less than a year away.
Yeah.
For the players and the coach, they want to win every night. But for management, what serves you best at this point? I think the answer is easy.
Yeah, it's hard to sell that though sometimes. I think your fans understand, but I remember, Dean, when Calgary came through Toronto last year later in the season, just talking to some of the players and asking them about the year. And, the veterans especially were pretty much the same. They said, the kids have been good and we've really competed hard. But when you're a veteran player and especially a guy who hasn't won yet, a Glenn Cross, Giordano, you're torn between being, I want to be a good example for these guys, and I think they all were last year, but you look at it like another year on the clock. You're not Sean Monahan, you're not 19, you're not obviously Sam Bennett, you're not 19, you're in your late 20s, you realize that, your time is short. It's hard to hear that. And I think, I think the Flames are doing the right thing, and you know, you shouldn't just call it the McDavid draft. It's now the McDavid Eichel draft. And that complicates the picture because it's two guys, not just one. I think the organization is doing the right thing, but I think it's tough when you're a veteran to hear that, because even though deep down you may know it's the right thing, you so badly want to win, and boy, it's hard to be told, guys, we need to wait a year, another year.
Elliot, thanks, pal. Enjoy some summer. Family, what do you got on the cooker?
A bit of downtime. I'm actually doing this from a golf course. We're teeing off in about 5 minutes, and I plan on working on my golf game a little bit this summer.
Well, good for you, man. Happy to have you on board. Look forward to working with you a ton over the end of the summer and into next year.
All right, Dino. Have a great summer.
You too. Thanks, Elliot. Bye-bye. Elliot Friedman with Sportsnet. So, Cody Franzen. What about Cody Franzen? You like Cody Franzen?